Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your very special holiday to spend with me on the broadcast. Happy Thanksgiving to all of my Facebook friends, to all of the listeners to the Cross in the Desert. A day for you to relax, to be with your family, to enjoy some great turkey and dressing and stuffing and all the good things that go with it. And a day, of course, most importantly, to be thankful. We have so much here in America to be thankful for. And the most important thing we have to be thankful for is our freedom. And since the topic today is Thanksgiving and freedom, I want to transition right to a country that I love from the bottom of my heart, the friends I love from the bottom of my heart, my Iranian friends that don't have the freedom. And I'm sure would like to be thankful for that freedom one day. But they have been going through in the last almost 2 weeks a fight for survival. In the first week of the protests, they rose up against the extremely high gas prices and went to the streets. And the media, in essence, said, well, this is just a protest over the gas prices. But it's much more than that. It's the frustration, the desperation of living under the iron fist of a dictatorship and having to face no freedom, nothing every day except existence and fighting for survival. And then during that first week, so many lost their lives, more than 100. And on top of that, the government, after the first few hours of the protest, shut down the internet for almost a week. And although it's been restored, there are many places in Iran where people cannot communicate with each other. The internet was shut down to cover up, to block from the world what this evil regime was doing to its people, killing unarmed protesters. According to credible reports, there are at least 450 people dead. The deaths have resulted almost entirely from the use of firearms. One man was reported to have died after inhaling tear gas, another after being beaten. A lot of these deaths are youth, 14, 17-year-old young kids. Most of these deaths are also unarmed, peaceful protesters. The rising death toll is an alarming indication of just how ruthless the treatment of unarmed protesters has been by the Iranian authorities and reveals their appalling assault on human rights. That's according to Philip Luther, Research and Advocacy Director for the Middle East and North Africa at Amnesty International. The international community's cautious and muted response to the unlawful killing of protesters is woefully inadequate, Luther goes on to say. They must condemn these killings in the strongest possible terms and describe these events for what they are: the deadly and wholehearted, unwarranted use of force to crush dissent. There are video on my page, verified videos of what is happening. Now, this morning, I woke up to some kind of problem with my account on Facebook. I'm not able to post, and I'll have to research and find out what's going on. This happened just moments before I came on the air here on the Cross in the Desert, but yet I will fix that problem later. But I have been posting video after video after video of actual verified videos of unarmed protesters being shot. They show deliberate shooting of unarmed protesters from a short distance. In some cases, protesters were shot while they were running away in the back. And clearly, they pose no threat to the security forces. Other videos show security forces shooting toward protesters from rooftops of state buildings, including a Justice Department building. In one video, it's from a helicopter they're shooting protesters. Security forces responsible for the crackdown includes Iran's police force, the Revolutionary Guard, and plainclothes agents from the besieged paramilitary force and others. So, also, what's happening in conjunction with this? Authorities have returned victims' bodies to their families, and they have demanded payment, citing several reasons: the cost of the bullet that killed their loved one, or compensation for property destroyed during the protests. And these allegations have been denied by at least one official in Khuzestan province. In a pattern consistent with protester killings, the authorities have threatened victims' family with arrest if they hold funerals for their loved ones or speak to the media. There is actually a video on the internet of an Iranian official describing from the Quran how we have to treat these protesters, how we have to sever off their hands or their feet, and how we have to hang them and executing them according to the Quran. So it is awful everywhere in Iran. I don't have significant evidence of widespread protests in every city, but I know that the protests are continuing. This country is in turmoil. These citizens are dying. They are desperate. They are hopeless. And I wanted to share with you this morning a heart-wrenching story that you will see on my Facebook page, and I've saw everywhere all over the internet. It was a young lady. Her name is Amina Shahbazi. She's 34, and she was one of the many victims of the protests in Iran. She was killed in Karaj on November 17th. She was shot dead. She's another victim. Tell me her story, Randy. Let's listen a little bit about Amina. Amina had left home to buy medicine, and this was on November 17th. This is shortly after the protests began. She was just going on about her business. She left home to buy medicine when she became aware of the protests there in Karaj, and there was a man shot near to her. Well, she knelt down to wrap her scarf around the leg of the wounded person. She was assisting him medically, and her life ended right there. She was shot in the back of the head. Horrible, unacceptable, unthinkable death. Amina was a housewife and a mother to 15-year-old Amir Hussein, 12-year-old Mursad, and 4-year-old Baran. Her husband was a motorcycle delivery driver. And at one point, they had failed to deliver Amina's body to her family. A friend in the forensic medicine department at the local hospital said they will deliver the body to Beheshet Zahra Cemetery. And the family says when we arrived at Beheshet, the cemetery manager said the body had not been delivered to them. We insisted, this is Iran Wire, we insisted on an explanation. Eventually, we were directed to the morgue. So the reporters from Iran Wire went to the morgue. There, we were told that the authorities could not release the body. Again, this is what's going on. They're afraid of releasing the body to the family because of protests, because of uprisings. Officials at the forensic medicine department then held classes to give specific instructions to the families of those killed in the protests. The instructions said that no special ceremonies should be held at the funerals and that the family members were not to give interviews to the journalists or others. Well, Shabazz's family finally received her body on Tuesday, November 19th, through friends working at the forensic medicine department and cemetery. The friends had asked the family how much they could pay to receive the body, but they relented when they realized that the husband worked as a delivery driver. It goes on and on, these stories of young protesters, of married men and women being shot and killed by this regime. They are doing nothing in some cases but peacefully protesting. In the case of Amina, she was assisting a wounded person and was shot in the back of the head. This morning on my program, I want to help us with what's happening in the world. I want to go to the Bible and I want to talk about the promise of God for a new heaven and a new earth. This present heaven and earth is corrupted by sin. Our first parents chose to disobey God in a perfect paradise called the Garden of Eden. And in their rebellion, they brought sin and death into the world. Adam was our representative of the human race. He was acting on humanity's behalf when he rebelled against our God. But our God, in pronouncing judgment, also pronounced mercy. And since the Garden of Eden, he has been saying in his word, I'm sending a promised Messiah. I'm going to rescue you from judgment and sin. And the Messiah came. He was rejected by the religious establishment in Israel, but accepted by the masses. He was crucified on a cross, and 3 days later, he rose again. He took our sin, our rebellion, our judgment. He took our place and provided salvation and deliverance to everyone who will call upon his name. We see rebellion and evil in our world because of the fall of our first parents. We see the destructive force of sin and evil, the misuse of our free will. God didn't create us to become puppets or robots. He gave us the ability to choose. In most cases, we choose evil instead of good because of our sinful nature. But God has promised, not only through sending Christ for our salvation, but to one day deliver us from this evil system of corruption, sin, and death. I want to read to you this morning a beautiful promise from God's word to all of us who know the Lord. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation is a very complicated, sometimes difficult book to interpret, and I won't go into all the reasons why and all the symbolism and all of the end times. What I want to focus in on this morning is the glorious promise we have as children of God to one day live in that perfect paradise on earth once again. Revelation chapter 21 declares, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old earth and the old heaven had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I am telling you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life.'" There is a beautiful promise here. This corrupted universe, this earth filled with violence, chaos, sin, and tragedy, one day God is going to recreate, and he is going to return us to that perfect paradise that our first parents enjoyed before sin and death entered the world. God says, "I am going to give you a new heaven and a new earth. God's home will now be among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself in this special transcendent way will be with them. And he promises to wipe every tear from our eyes, every sorrow, every hurt, every pain, he will personally wash away. There will be no more crying and no sorrow in heaven. And there will be no more death, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever." Can you imagine the day when death will no longer be the final say, if you will, of human existence? That no longer will sin, death, and decay rot in our midst, but that paradise will return. Perfection will come again. The tears that we've cried because of the pain, the sorrow, the death, God will wipe those tears away. Death will reign no more. There will be no more pain. All those things will be gone forever. God promises. He's the one sitting on the throne. He's the Lord of the universe. And he says to you, "Look, I am making everything new." And he says to John, the apostle who is recording this vision, "Write this down." And here's the promise: "For what I tell you is trustworthy and true." So this is not some mythical wish fulfillment. This is not some fairy tale. This is not just kind of hanging on till the end because something good will come along later. This is a true and trustworthy promise that God is saying to his people, "I am going to reign with you in this personal way. I am going to wipe away the pain and the tears from your eyes. Death will reign no more, no more crying, no more pain. Welcome home." That will happen one day. And it will happen to those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus. You see, this beautiful promise is for God's people, for those who are trusting in Christ. As I read and prepare for my program every day, I always come across a story about the fastest underground church in the world. And that fastest underground church in the world is in Iran. You see, the people of Iran Most of them are Muslim in name only. But they have watched year after year, day after day, the unholy fruit of Islam, the pain, the torture, the death. They don't want any part of religion. But they have found in Christianity the hope, the peace, and the forgiveness that is offered by Christ. And they have said, this is worth everything to us. Jesus, Messiah. And they worship him, they praise him, they serve him, they tell his story, his gospel everywhere, with the threat of death hanging over their head, because it is true. God's word is true. His word transforms life. His word gives them hope and forgiveness and peace that they have never, ever found before. And this is a promise for God's children. One day, this evil system will be no more. God promises to make everything new. He says to you, every tear of anguish and hurt and pain that you've cried, I'm going to wipe it away. It's going to be no more. And because of Jesus, you are going to enjoy an intimacy with me that you've never had before. It's a true intimacy. It's an intimacy that says, welcome home. No more crying. No more death. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more Aminas shot in the back for helping the wounded, no more Hamids shot in the back for peacefully protesting, no more fighting against oppression and dictatorship. None of that ever will happen again, because you're coming home. You're coming home. You know, one of the most beautiful scenes in all of movie making was when Dorothy was standing next to the Good Witch, and she wanted to go home. She wanted to leave Oz. She missed her family. She missed her home. And she tapped her ruby slippers together, and there she was back home. And although it was a dream, it made the point that there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There are thousands of Iranian refugees having to flee Iran and go to other countries and start a new life, but every one of them has told me there is no place like home. We just want Iran to return to its former glory. We just want our Persian culture back. We just want the freedom that we once had. But there is something even greater than that freedom and that restored Iran. And that is the restored paradise that God has promised you and me. Heaven one day will come down to earth. The New Jerusalem will come and live among us. Do you know Jesus? In your desperation, have you decided that I cannot handle religion, but I need a relationship? Jesus promises you that relationship. He says, come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. My weary Iranian friends need this promise and this rest so desperately. When Jesus comes into our hearts by faith, when we trust him, he recreates our insides. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. He takes away the tentacles of sin and bondage that we've been living in. He gives us a freedom from the power of sin. He gives us his righteousness. He gives us his forgiveness, his peace. He gives us a new heart and a spirit. He gives us a new beginning. If any man be in Christ, the Bible teaches, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We become a new creature, the Bible says, a new person on the inside. We become free again. Today I cry out to you and urge you to come to Christ, to realize the reality of not only personal forgiveness and pardon, but the reality of this beautiful promise that one day the evil around us, the rebellion and the death around us will come to an end, and God's people will be in a perfect paradise. It's promised to us who trust in Christ, who reach out and ask for his forgiveness, for his pardon. It's a gift that we can never earn. It's the promise of God's word. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My Iranian friends are desperate. They're tired. They're frustrated. They just want peace. They just want freedom. And God promises to them, to you, the ultimate freedom that you've been seeking for, that you've been searching for. For those of us now that follow the events in Iran, I'm asking you, please continue posting the videos of what's happening. Please continue standing and supporting my Iranian friends. Please continue being their voice. And most importantly, please continue praying for them. While the protests may have winded down a little bit, the frustration and the agony is still in their hearts. They are desperate after 40 years. All they want is peace and freedom. And this morning, the ultimate peace and freedom that I've been sharing with you comes in a promise from God's word. And you can realize that promise when you become his child. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave them the power, the rights, to become children, our sons and daughters of God. I want to thank you so much this morning on this Thanksgiving holiday by joining me. And if you're like me and you live in America, today be thankful. Be thankful for your freedom. And please pray for my Iranian friends who are desperate for freedom, for hope, for salvation. God bless you. Have a wonderful holiday. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I will see you again next Monday on the Cross in the Desert.